Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation, chapter 7, the very last book of the Bible. What a blessing to know that we have the Word of God before us tonight. The Bible is God's preserved Word for us today. For the English-speaking people, we hold to this King James Version of the Bible. I believe it's what God has preserved for the English-speaking people. And I don't even know that I go back to 1611. I know that's when it was revised or placed in the King James into the English language. I go back to 1776. God had a purpose and a plan for establishing the United States of America. And the Bible that has been looked to for all the revivals, all the great revivals, and to make this country the great nation that it is, was the King James Version of the Bible. And this Bible right here, it has withstood the test of time. Everything that we need to know about eternity past, it's in the Bible. God's revealed it to us. In the book of Genesis, it reveals so much about the beginning of all things. But throughout it's the Bible that gives us, God gives us through His Word, everything that we have need to know about eternity past. Eternity present, it's right in the Bible. This church age, the Bible has revealed much about the church age. Jesus established this church age when He came some 2,000 years ago. And He established Christianity. Praise the Lord for that. He established His church. It was a mystery of the Old Testament. Now it's very much alive in the New Testament, very much aware of. It was always in the Old Testament. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. What a blessing. But eternity present. Everything about what we need to know today to live a victorious Christian life is found right here in the Bible. This Bible has the answers to whatever questions you have. It has the solutions to whatever your problems are. Praise the Lord for that. And God has designed it that way. And then we have everything that we need to know about eternity future. You get that, what you need to know, the truth, from the Bible. Don't be calling the psychic hotline. Amen. That doesn't help. That's not going to go. Don't go have your palms read and whatever. If you want to know about the future, read what God has given to us. God has revealed to us what's going to take place in the future. And so in the book of Revelation, we've been studying here now for some time and just going through the book of Revelation. If you remember verse 19 of chapter 1, let me just read it to you. It says, the angel tells John, says, write the things which thou hast seen, past, the things which are present, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the things that shall be hereafter is covered from chapter 4 all the way through the end of the book, chapter 22. And so we've already studied the things that which are. We've studied the church age. Praise the Lord for that. We've broken it down. We understand not only where we're at in the church age, and I believe we're in that Laodicean church age, the very last of the church age. And what follows the church age is the rapture of the church. And we've been studying now here what takes place during the judgment of God during the seven-year tribulation period. The tribulation period will be ushered in when the church is no longer here. And so we don't have to worry about going through the tribulation. Praise the Lord for that. Now we are going to have to deal with, it's a battle. We talked on that this morning, the age of apostasy. That's upon us. And we're seeing a falling away from the things of God. Seeing a falling away and discarding the Bible. That's what you have to do away with. If you're wanting to lead people opposite the ways of God, you have to water down the Bible. You have to discard the Bible as something that man come up with. And that's what's happening today. We need to hold to the Bible. It's what God has preserved for us. That we might know the very mind of God. That we might understand the truths that He's given to us. And so we've gone through that church age period. The rapture will take place as the church is now in heaven with the Lord, getting ready to come back after the seven-year tribulation period. And we're going to be getting into that. But the Bible starts revealing the judgments of God upon the earth. And we've studied the seven seal judgments is what we've been in. We studied the six seal judgments, including the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That was a tremendous study in going through that in chapter 6. After the sixth seal, before the seventh seal comes on the scene, the seventh seal will lead into the seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgments, they begin in chapter 8. Between chapter 6 and chapter 8, we find chapter 7. Amen. I just want to make sure you're all with me tonight. It's really not rocket science. Amen? It's not that hard to understand. Before you get to chapter 8, after you get through chapter 6, there's chapter 7. But in chapter 7, we have a pause in the judgments. Between the 6th and the 7th seal judgment, there's a pause. And there's a reason for that. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Chapter 7, book of Revelation, chapter 7. Stand with me, we'll read this, and we'll get into the study this evening. What I want to do, and I've already mentioned this, when we got into the book of Revelation, is simplify it. I'm a practical preacher. Amen? I believe the Word of God's given to us so that we can apply it to our lives. Not so that we can just sit back and think that we have all this great knowledge and do nothing with it. Knowledge that God gives us is to be applied to our lives so we can live it. Live the Word of God. That's why we have it. So that we might live it. And the book of Revelations, the reason that God's given it to us is so that we might have it to encourage us in how we live today in preparation for the tribulation, knowing that we're going to be gone. So tribulation is going to be a horrible time. There's going to be tremendous judgment. And we want to do everything we can to see more souls saved, especially family, friends, co-workers, acquaintances. When you really understand it, you don't want to see anybody lost. You want to help everyone to get saved. Revelation chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, the judgments that was to come. They paused them. He holds the angels and the judgment back, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. Look who these are. That 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. 144,000 Jews. Don't get caught up in this religion so you're going to be one of those 144,000. It's going to be of the tribes of the children of Israel. And of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. That's the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. That's why we say amen in the church. The most biblical way to respond to spiritual things is the amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, that's Jesus Christ, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity and the privilege it is to be here in church tonight, and for everyone that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be here and have assembled here tonight. And Lord, we've already been blessed in what we've experienced in this place. But now as we get into the precious Word of God, I just pray, God, that You give each one here that ear to hear what You have for them, what they can understand and what they can learn to be able to apply to their lives. I pray that You'd use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. A pause between chapter 6 and chapter 7, which will bring in the seven trumpet judgments. The sealed judgments are what comes first. The next are the trumpet judgments. And we're going to be looking at all that. And there's going to be 7 years. All this is going to take place in 7 years upon this earth. This earth is going to go through more tribulation and more judgments from God. Natural disaster, all the different things that will be taking place than what anyone could ever imagine. And it's going to take place. But we find here in chapter 7, the angels are holding back the winds of judgment on earth. Now, that thought in and of itself is God is in control. God has always been in control and always will be in control. God breathed the earth into existence. God designed it. Amen. He designed it. He designed the solar system. He designed gravity. He designed it all. For mankind, we're living on this planet Earth as God has prepared it. If you'll read in the book of Genesis, God took everything and He established it so it would be in a perfect environment for man in these physical bodies. Now, heaven is going to be a different environment. Amen. Things are going to be different in heaven. Heaven is a different dimension. Amen? We are going to have bodies, but they're going to be so much superior to the physical bodies that we have now. We're going to be in bodies that can be like Jesus, just go through walls. From get from one place to another in just a thought. We're going to be in the presence of an Almighty God in that type of environment. We're going to be in an environment that God has always been in. And God has always surrounded Himself in an environment of praise. It's a different dimension. Don't get confused. We're not going to be living in a reconditioned earth. It's a new heaven, new atmosphere, and a new earth. It will be designed for what our lives are going to be like throughout eternity. And if we get a little glimpse of that, and we can't fully understand it, don't try, just rejoice. I often tell people, you can't expect too much of heaven. Now that's rare that you can't expect too much of something. So often we find things that we expected was going to be better than what they are. Vacation time, whatever it might be, and we are disappointed because it didn't meet up to our expectations of what it was going to be like. You cannot expect too much of heaven. I can't understand. I can't explain it all. I just know what the Bible gives us and what He tells us about it. And it's going to be in the very presence of God, the very presence of a God who spoke the worlds that we know into existence. I mean, if we're in His presence, can I tell you, you can't have too high of expectation of what is going to be like being around God and live in eternity And we're going to see in just a little bit some of the benefits, some of the things that we can look forward to. But heaven is going to be a tremendous, tremendous place. You don't want to miss out on heaven. Because the only alternative to that is a place called hell. And can I tell you, when you read, Jesus taught more on hell than he did on heaven. You study the scriptures, you read the Bible. Hell is described in more graphic terms than what heaven is. And that's a purpose. That was given that way for a purpose. You don't want to miss out on heaven because you definitely do not want to spend eternity in a place of hell. So we have the book of Revelation revealing to us about eternity future, what's going to take place. After the church is raptured, there's going to be some lies told, and the world's going to believe that aliens came and took away whatever it's going to. I don't know exactly all that's going to happen. I know there's going to be lies told, and the world is going to believe the lie. But there's going to come a time when the rapture will take place, and then this tribulation period. The angels who were in control of the winds were told to hold, put it on pause. The winds that will come and do massive destruction on this earth. I mean, we just heard, and of course we was in Oklahoma City, and we just left Oklahoma City right before the tornadoes hit there, and then they moved on into Arkansas. They were following us, amen, because we went into Arkansas to be with Brother Adam, and then in St. Louis, Missouri, and they were all around us. We were driving, and the funnel cloud was right over the car. I mean, I'm thinking that could come down any time. And we read and we study, we look at the film clips, and we've seen the total devastation. Houses that were just no more. Brother Dave McCracken, his mother and his sister have a house there in Moore. And he texted us a picture of it. And all that was there, I mean, was just the foundation. There was no wood, nothing, no roof. It was all gone. They had two cars in the garage. Praise the Lord, God worked it out. Both of them were in different places. One was in Tennessee and one was in Florida. So they weren't there. If they were there, they would have perished with the house. The cars that were in the garage, they found like three blocks away that had just been toppled over, had rolled over, totally demolished. And we've seen the destruction of winds. God says, you haven't seen anything yet. But the angels are holding the winds back. The angels have a calmness because God has a purpose before this judgment comes. So there's a calm. The four angels standing on the four corners. There was one at the east and one at the west and one at the north and one at the south. The four angels that were controlling the whole world. It's just not America that God is interested in. God is interested in the whole world, all humanity. He said to hold because he had something he wanted to do before he would allow the destruction. There would be the sealing of 144,000 Jews who will believe in Jesus Christ. The Jews have not, they crucified Jesus some 2,000 years ago, saying, you're not the Messiah. We still are looking for the Messiah to come. He was the Messiah. Amen. Christianity today believes it, understands that he was the Messiah. The Jews are still holding off on the Messiah. During this time, the tribulation period is going to be more about Israel. It's going to be more about the Jews. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe are going to be saved. They're going to put their faith and trust and acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. And they're going to have a seal. Now, today, as you get saved, can I tell you, you are sealed? When you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you receive Him as your Savior, He sends the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible reveals, to seal us until the day of redemption. And that sealing of the Holy Spirit protects your soul. Protects your soul from demonic presence. Protects your soul from having ever to have to worry about going to a place of hell. Because when you were given the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, you were also given everlasting eternal life. If you're saved today, you've been sealed, and heaven is your home. You have that to look forward to. Praise the Lord for that. That's what the Bible gives to us. At this time, the Holy Spirit has been taken out of the way. He goes up with the rapture of the church. We've already studied that part of it. But now we find that He is going to seal their foreheads. not the mark of the beast. He's sealing them. I don't know if it's a protection of their mind, just what it all is symbolic of, but I know that he's going to seal them to where he's going to preserve them during this time, and they're going to be witnesses for him. Not the Jehovah's Witness that you maybe hear today, the cult of that doctrine. That's not what we're talking about here. These are 144,000 Jews. It's about the 12 tribes of Israel. And now they're going to acknowledge that we did crucify the Messiah. Jesus is the Lord. And they're going to be saved. And they're going to be here to testify around the world. So God's going to seal them. And then we find that he reveals who the 144,000 are, of the 12 tribes of Israel. All eternal judgment is controlled by God. That's one of the practical truths that we find here. Judgment is controlled by God. Can I tell you, there's no mistakes in heaven and there's no mistakes in hell. No one will be misjudged. Anybody here ever been misjudged? Or judged? I think all of us could raise their hand and say, yeah, that's me. All of us. God never misjudges anybody. Today, under man's judicial system, there have been many mistakes. There's innocent people, no doubt. At least innocent of the crime they were convicted of. They probably were guilty of something else that put them in that category. But we're finding that there's been many mistakes made through our judicial system. It's still the best thing out there. Praise the Lord for it. But God will judge according to His Word and according to His wisdom. God is not mocked. He's not deceived. When God judges, it's righteous. There'll be no one in hell that did not reject Jesus Christ. And there'll be no one in heaven who did not fall on their face and confess that they were lost and look to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into their heart and save their soul. There's no one in heaven that has not trusted and called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. John chapter 12, Jesus presents this. John chapter 12. What will we be judged by? Will we be judged by our good works? Will we be judged by the kind of family we are born into? Will we be judged by our church membership? There's all those questions. In John chapter 12 and verse 46, Jesus says this. He says, I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, the Bible is what we have now that represents the words of Jesus Christ, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the Word. That's why this Bible is so very important. This is what we'll give an account for. We'll be judged according to God's holy Word and what God has given to us. The Word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Salvation is not based upon the church. Salvation is not based upon what a man tells you you have to do. Salvation is not based upon works. Salvation is not based upon your color of skin, your nationality. Salvation is based upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Understand that you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ and the precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. I have no hope of everlasting life, but because of His sacrifice, all I have to do is to look to Him and receive a free gift that He has for me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Bible. Yeah. So there'll be no misjudgments. No one in heaven that has not received Christ. No one in hell that has not rejected Christ. God always offers mercy before judgment. even as his children. You know, raising children, you want them to come clean. You want them to tell the truth. Did you take that cookie or eat that cake? They have it all over the face. You're not wanting them to inform you. You already know. But you want them to admit it. No, I didn't eat no cookie. You know, the chocolate all over. But sometimes we have that very same mentality. I've never killed anybody. I don't deserve hell. I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. I didn't do it. God wants you to come to a place where we'll confess. I'm guilty. I deserve hell. Jesus, I'm lost. Unmerited favor is grace. I don't deserve it. But because of His grace, the love and kindness of God, it's offered to me. Mercy is offered to me. And with grace and mercy comes peace. Peace that passes all understanding. What a blessing. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see this. Now this is the judgment. That's what we're in right now. And He pauses so they can understand that He controls judgment. And so that's for us to learn. God controls judgment, not only in the future, but He controls judgment today. 2 Peter. And He always offers mercy before the judgment. He wants us to confess. He wants us to come to Him. Especially if you're a child of God's. He already knows. He wants you to confess it so that He might forgive you and cleanse you and restore fellowship with you. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, Peter's presenting what's going to take place during the judgment and the end times. But he says, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants the world to be saved. He so loved the world that He gave His Son to die for all humanity. He offers mercy before judgment. Before the tribulation period comes, this whole church age is all about grace and mercy that is available to anyone who will just simply believe and call upon the name of the Lord, receive. So we find here, go back to our text. We got to hurry up. I'm going to be finished here in just a few minutes here. Verses 1 down to verse 8 reveals the 12 tribes. And God's sealing them to protect them from the judgment. He reveals that He is holding back the winds of judgment upon the earth. Verses 9 through 17. Verse 9, it reveals that there is an innumerable amount of people from all over the earth during this time that'll be saved. There's going to be a great harvest of souls worldwide during the tribulation period. 144,000 will be witnesses. There's going to have His two witnesses that are going to... we'll get into that later. Don't want to give you that right now. But it's going to be a harvest of souls. Now listen, during this church age, it's a harvest of souls. What's most important to God during this church age, that's why we got the Great Commission for the church and every believer. Once you get saved, tell somebody else. Once you get saved, do what you can to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get involved in missions and get involved in soul winning and get involved in being the witness that God wants you to be. We're ambassadors for Christ. That's what this is all about. And there's going to be a harvest of souls during this church age. And then God's going to change things up. Call the church and the Holy Spirit out. But there's still going to be a harvest of souls. Starts with 144,000 Jews that are now going to go around and they're going to have God's seal upon them and they're going to tell people, we made a mistake. Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. And the Bible says, in this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations, kindreds, and people and tongues, all humanity, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, who are these? He asked that question. And it's answered there. Look down to verse 13, 14. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said, John says, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They trusted in Jesus Christ and His precious blood. As we continue to study, you'll find that those that get saved during the tribulation period will have to be, that they will be martyred. They'll have to reject the mark of the beast. And those who reject the mark of the beast have been ordered to be executed. And those that get saved during the tribulation period will die for their belief in Jesus Christ. I wonder, and I even thought this myself, is my faith strong enough right now to die for? There's somebody come in with a gun, put it to your head and said, you either denounce Christ or I'm going to pull the trigger. How strong is our faith? That's what it's going to be like during the tribulation period. It's going to be that horrific. It's not that way today. Day of grace, mercy. Call upon the name of the Lord. God gives us a privilege in this great Christian nation. Religious freedoms, free to worship Him however we choose. We look back in our history and there have been martyrs for the cause of Christ. There have been many martyred for their belief in baptism and executed by the Catholic Church, which is all documented. Those who held to the truth and said, we'll not deny our Savior and will not deny the doctrine of Christ. And they were executed. Yeah. Memorial Day. We need to thank God and for those whom had the faith to hold on to the Word of God so that we might have it as we have it today. The Catholic Church later on came back and made a formal apology for their execution of those who believed in believers' baptism. In the tribulation period, they'll have to die. But it's going to be a harvest of souls. An innumerable number from all around the world. Isn't that great? God's design. Amen. Even in the tribulation, He's going to see souls saved. It's part of the plan to get people to trust in Christ as their Savior. Once they believed in Jesus Christ, they had this to look forward to. Verse 15 through 17, we're done. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You see, right now, praise the Lord, we do have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we have God's access to God through prayer. He's designed that for us. Prayer puts you in contact with the Creator God at any moment, 24/7. Matter of fact, we're instructed to pray without ceasing, always being aware of the presence of God, always being aware of Him, His presence with me. And it's a blessing to have that. But yet, in that day, in eternity, yeah, we're going to be in His presence physically, in glorified bodies, in this atmosphere of praise, where there's no more sin nature, where there will be no more evil. Satan will be bound. Amen. He'll be cast into a Gehenna hell, which was prepared for Satan and his angels, in the same place that all those who reject Christ are going to spend eternity. But heaven's going to be so much more. The presence of God. The greatest thing about heaven. presence of God. Dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. You don't have to worry about getting too hot or too cold. That is your chance to say amen. Because I'm always, after services, preacher, it was too cold in the church today. My wife uses one, tells me that. But it's too cold in the church today. And right behind them, there'll be somebody, well, it's awful hot in here today. What do you do? In the summertime, we complain about the heat. In the wintertime, we complain about the cold. One day, we don't have to worry about the climate. Amen? Never going to be, it's going to be just right. 90 degrees for her, about 65, 70 for me. But you can't have too high of expectations, amen? It might be 95, I don't know. So. That's what he says. All of our needs met. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't have to say goodbye to anyone. Revelation 21:4, and we're done. I just want to read this to you, because this is what he tells us about heaven later on. We'll be looking at this later on, but I want to read it to you right now, because it goes right along with what he pauses to give them in chapter 7. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says this: And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a blessing that God reveals to us what we have to look forward to as a born again, blood washed, Bible believing believer. If you don't know that, don't wait any longer. Tonight, make this evening the day that you get saved. If I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. God has written down what's going to take place in eternity future. God has. This is not a man's philosophy. This is not the church's philosophy. This is what God has written down, preserved for us. Oh, how we need to respond to it. How we need to respond to it. Tonight, we've done what we can do. We presented the message that I believe God had for us. As we preach on this morning, there's certain things you have to do for yourself no one else can do. Responding to the message of God, no one can do that for you. Respond before it's eternally too late. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray now that you'd work in our midst during this invitation. God, those here today that need this evening, that need to make decisions, you've spoke to them, they know it. I pray that they would not be stubborn or hard-headed, but God, they would yield their will to your will. They would let the Word of God penetrate and reveal to them what they need to do from this point forward. I pray that there'd be decisions made that would change lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.